your host and the editor-publisher of Diversity Rules
Love
Magazine,
Talk Radio,
a niche subscription-only publication based in upstate New York. Diversity Rules Magazine on the Air is an extension of the print publication. We'll be discussing issues of the day in an informal, at-the-kitchen-table format. So no one is right on this show. It is simply an airing of ideas and perspectives. As Aristotle said, it is the mark of an educated mind to entertain a thought without accepting it. My friend Ace London taught me that quote, and I live that mantra. So while you may hear some things that you will disagree with, all we ask is that you think about what you heard, and more importantly, think for yourselves. Many people aren't thinking for themselves nowadays. We have too many sheep out there just listening and not doing what they should be doing. So if you're interested in finding out more about Diversity Rules, check out the website at www.diversityrulesmagazine.com. There you'll find out how to subscribe, advertise, or just give us money if you want to. There's always need for money. And there's always advertising opportunities for this radio show as well. I have to also promote an Indiegogo campaign that is being used to help raise funds to expand this show's presence further in broadcast land, as well as to help sustain the day-to-day operations of the publication. So the link to that campaign is on this radio show's website at diversityrules.freespiritbroadcasting.com. And last, I want to thank the folks at Free Spirit Broadcasting for providing Diversity Rules Magazine on the air, a home to enlighten and entertain. So with all that introductory stuff out of the way, I'm going to go and move on to our guest. He is the author of the monthly column in Diversity Rules entitled Remedies, in which he discusses the many facets of bullying and its adverse impacts, as well as other insightful essays on issues of the day. He's also an author and a YouTube blogger, and his name is Donnie Winter. And Donnie, are you there, buddy?
I am here, yes. Hello, Jim.
Good. Sorry to make you endure that long introduction, but I try to get everything done and over with and get the same thing said every year, every month, or every week, I guess, so things sink in, you know?
It was very eloquently put. Good job.
Well, that's good. Thank you. And I didn't even pay you to say that, did I?
No, you didn't.
No. So, how are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Good. So how's things out there in Michigan? Cold? Snowy?
It's basically in a glacial tundra here right now, as
yeah,
I'm sure it's there as well.
I hear the Midwest is like crazy snowy and cold.
I've never seen cold this horrid. Like, it is seriously, like, we've only had like 3 days this year over 40 degrees, and normally we get a January thaw.
I can sympathize with you. We're having a normal winter this year. That's the thing. We're not used to it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, we've been pampered a while.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about Donnie Winter, your background, where you're from, and all that general stuff, just to give listeners an idea of who you are.
Well, I'm 25 years old. I'm a gay rights activist. I'm from Michigan, as stated before. I got into being a gay rights activist through YouTube, actually. I really enjoy talking to people through that means. And it's really, I really enjoy it, too. Like, I feel like I'm opening up a form of exchange between myself and other people. I also endured a lot of bullying throughout high school, and over the past about 9 years, it's been learning how to deal with it and learning how to take all the difficulty that happened and apply it in my life without holding myself back.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's good. That's a great segue into my next question here. And I apologize for not getting you these questions ahead of time, but I just did them up like a half hour before the show, so.
I'm very good at impromptu,
there's nothing here that's
okay.
Going to scare you, though. Huh?
I said I'm very good at impromptu, it's okay.
Well, that's good, I'm glad. Oh, God. Yeah, I can be too, but sometimes I like to have them in front of me. All right, so you mentioned bullying. It's an endemic ill in society today. You know, we hear a lot about it from all parts of the country. all over the place, from the biggest of cities to the smallest of villages and towns and hamlets in the country. And you mentioned you were bullied. So why don't you tell us about your bullying and how it impacted your life?
Well, I really didn't start getting bullied until myself and my peers, like, entered puberty, because once you enter that stage in life, you really start discovering who and what you're attracted to. And I was really kind of socially awkward in high school, and I have a higher voice, so most people assumed that I was gay, even though I wasn't out. So this mainly happened in high school. I would always have people shoving me. Usually once a week or so, I would engage in some sort of physical altercation with somebody, and I would more often than not get the tar beat out of me. And mostly, though, it was like a lot of passive-aggressive comments. I would get food thrown at me during lunch, so I would try to, you know, avoid everyone else. Basically, I did not want to draw any attention toward myself, because if I did, it would usually end up being negative. And overall, I just had to mentally prepare myself every day for school, because in my mind, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to school. I just need to not think about what's going to happen, because I know it's going to happen and nobody will do anything about it. I would tell people about it and they would just pass it off as, oh, well, they're just kids being kids, you know, they're boys being boys. And
yeah,
that's usually the answer I got.
That really, oh my God, I couldn't imagine. I mean, we all get bullied to some extent, but some of us get bullied more than others. And it sounds like you had your more than your share of that nonsense as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But
I haven't let it hold me back now, though. So.
Yeah. Well, how did you cope? How do you cope with the after effects of bullying? Do you still carry scars of it today?
It'll always be there. Scars will always be there, but they don't cause any pain anymore. When I was in high school, I coped through music and writing, my various outlets. And now I just, I reflect on what happened and I turn it in. I always say that I turn pain into power by making my voice heard, essentially. My voice was always something that I was self-conscious about, and now instead, I use it as a tool that helps me along my way.
Yeah. Well, I've watched a few of your YouTube videos. They're awesome. And you just have that power of the spoken word. You know, you can get out there and say what you need to say. And that's good. I can write very well, but sometimes I fumble over my words. But it's okay. You know, we go with what our gifts are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So what would you tell someone who's been bullied or is being bullied?
Well, first, I would ask them to explain the situation to me, because more often than not, the reason why it's hard to confide in other people is because they don't give people a chance to, you know, explain their story. And I guess it really depends on the situation. I would tell them that it does get better, and as you grow up, it'll change, because things change very unexpectedly for people, even though we may not feel it at that moment.
Yeah. Because I know I did a couple sessions in the local high school. I went in and spoke to a health class just about being gay, coming out, and, you know, what it means to be yourself and all that stuff. And, you know, somebody after the fact lingered and, you know, I knew she wanted to talk to me, and I was like, all right, there's something going on here. And this, she, very sheepish, and she just started crying. And I knew immediately what she was going to tell me, that she's been bullied, and she told me that she's been pushed into her locker, and she's been called a faggot, a lesbian, and all the other nasty names that go along with it. And I just, you know, I just looked at her in her eyes, and I said, you know, I was where you were, and there are a lot of other people where you are, and, you know, things do get better, and it's very painful. And, you know, I guess the best thing you can just do is love somebody and just hug them and tell them that things will be okay. I know that's cliche, but, you know, that's what I did with her, and it seemed to help, you know?
It may seem cliche, but in all reality, if you're a bully victim, you are probably quite possibly the loneliest person ever. You'll feel like nobody wants to interact with you at all. But when you see that person that tries to make an effort for you, that completely uplifts you, and that's probably the best thing you could do for someone.
Yeah, because I really did. I felt sorry. I really felt pain for her because I wasn't I got bullied, not because I was gay or anything like that. It's just I was very awkward sports, athletically wise, and, you know, I'm more of a right side of the brain kind of guy. And, you know, I got bullied and ridiculed in gym class, and that has a scar to this day. You know, I can't stand it. But, you know, you deal with it. But people deal with things in different ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And helping her, I think, you know, doing things that, with her, I think that just helps, you know, gets people through their day when they know people are understanding of their situation.
Well, and the beauty of it is when you help that person, in a lot of ways, it helps you yourself heal as well. I've learned that in my experience.
Yeah. Well, I know when I write a lot, I write about things that I'm dealing with, that I know other people are probably dealing with as well. And I imagine you do the same thing with your YouTube blogging. You speak mm-hmm. and address things that you're going through that other people will relate to. You know, so
exactly.
That's important. It does help us, you know, with our own issues a lot of times. Now, you mentioned, many times bullying can be stopped if one's peers take action to stop it. You know, many times they remain silent because they don't want to get involved or they're afraid mm-hmm. they're going to be bullied themselves. But I feel, you know, standing in silence is just as bad as doing the bullying. So what do you think about that?
The bystander honestly has the most power in the situation during a bully, because usually it'll be the bully victim, and however many bystanders are there. The bystander, if they allow the bullying to happen, I'm not going to say they're just as responsible for the bullying, but they are responsible for helping the victim heal from that moment. Because if that victim knows that they're not alone, then they're going to be able to cope with the situation more effectively. But the thing is, a lot of the bystanders are afraid of drawing attention to themselves, too. Because if you're in a high school situation and there's two boys in a situation, one's being bullied, the other one isn't, the bystanders can either step in and tell the bully to stop, or they can just stand there and let it happen. But more often than not, the bystander will also get bullied for siding with the kid that gets bullied. Because of the kid that gets bullied, they're more often than not the frequent target of bullying from multiple people. Like, it's not just from one person, usually. I know in my experience, I had groups of people bullying me half the time.
Boy. So did you have a support system? Or did you have other friends? Did you have people that you could confide in, you know, when this crap happened to you?
Yeah, I had a few friends. A couple of my friends would stick up for me every now and then. I would try to prevent them from sticking up for me because they would also get bullied because they were hanging out with me, and I didn't want them to have to go through that. Not that that stopped them at all. I mean, my friends are very determined individuals, which I admire. But other than that, my coping, the things that would help me the most were being, like, I was a musician and I was a writer, and those were the only things that I could turn to completely get those feelings out there. I wouldn't even tell my parents what would happen, because if I did, then they would have discovered that I actually was gay, which would have been very counterproductive at that point in life.
Yeah. So how big was your high school?
My high school is, when I was there, it probably had about 960 students.
Okay, so it's a smaller school then. So you're from more of a rural part of Michigan?
I'm from a rural, woodsy area in Michigan, like northern and lower Michigan.
Got it. Okay. So, in smaller places like that, it tends to be more... more pronounced. I don't know. I guess bullying is bullying no matter where it is, but guess the peer pressure in a small community, in a small school, could be more impactful on somebody than in a larger one, maybe? I don't know.
The issue is that people in smaller communities often operate under one mindset. And if there's anybody that has any sort of difference, they are often ostracized because of that difference, because they don't want to change like the rest of the world does. And my town has gotten a lot better than it used to, don't get me wrong. It's a lot more progressive than it was, say, 10 years ago. But that feeling still exists, and I feel like it exists in a lot of places.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the same here where I am. I'm in upstate New York, and, you know, the town I grew up in had 15,000 people, and, you know, I agree. It's in the past 10, 15 years, it's come a long way, but in a lot of ways, it's still as homophobic and closed-minded as it ever was, you know, which is sad. But with each chapter and with each episode, you know, things change, and that's good. So I know we're all progressing forward here. I'd like to think we are, anyway. You wouldn't know it by some of the crap that's going on in this country today, but we are moving forward.
It.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. So you have founded or co-founded a group called Affirmations for Bullying Victims. Tell us about that, you know, what the mission is and what your goals and objectives are.
Affirmations for Bullying Victims is a new way of helping bully victims. Most people tell them that they need to stand up for themselves or fight or things like that, and more often than that, that just makes the situation more difficult. And some people believe that attacking the bully is the answer to the answer to solving the situation, when in fact it isn't either. The most effective way to handle bullying is by focusing all the energy on the bully victim and helping bring their sense of self-esteem up, uplifting them in a way. And Affirmations for Bullying Victims does that. We have, I think there's like probably 24 different affirmations that we usually recite. I don't know them off the top of my head. I'm not that awesome at memorizing things. But my friend Cindy, who is autistic, and I created it. She is one of my best friends, and she's experienced a hellacious amount of bullying in her life. And she also decided to take that and turn it into power. She transformed that pain into something positive, and I'm really proud of her for that, and it really inspired me too, so I wanted to help her with that. And our goal is to essentially just be a positive influence.
Yeah. Now, do you meet? Do you have a place in the school, or is this an informal group that you spread the word about, you know, word of mouth?
This is purely an online group, actually.
An online thing, okay.
Yeah, it's on Facebook and Twitter, and basically people just like the group, and we, on a regular basis, post positive stories. We post uplifting comments and all of that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, a lot of times, is very helpful. I mean, that's one good thing about the Internet. You know, people, you know, when I was in high school, there was no Internet, and it was like this, you know, you just didn't realize there were other people out there like you. But now with the Internet, you know there are other people out there like you, and you can always tap into some good things as well as the bad things. But, you know, you can tap into some very good support systems. And, you know, Affirmations for Bullying Victims certainly sounds like one of those good online resources that people can tap into. So I was looking at the group. You have how many likes there? You're getting there. I think
we have like about 500 likes.
Well, good. We'll have to do our part to help promote that and get people joining. So,
I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So now, one way you spread your message is via YouTube. You know, like I mentioned before, you have the knack for the spoken word. I just love listening to you in your videos. They're great. So tell us about some of your videos, and how do you hope they impact folks when they listen to it?
Well, I do a diverse amount of videos, but the main topics I talk about are issues in the LGBT community and bullying. I just try to get people to think. Like, people often are too late. Like, I don't want to say they're too lazy to think, but sometimes you have to challenge them to do so.
Yeah.
And in my videos, I'm always trying to be open-minded while explaining my point, because I want to perpetuate the idea that, I mean, like that quote in the beginning, I mean, you have to have an open mind in order to entertain any thoughts, essentially.
Yeah.
And if people understand different perspectives, they're more liable to be open to it. And and with things are changing drastically right now in our country, especially with LGBT issues. People are becoming more open-minded, but there are always going to be those people who doubt, who always doubt. And through my YouTube, I want to help them realize that there's always a better way. There's always a better option.
Yeah. So what's the address? If people want to access your YouTube page,
it's youtube.com/Donnie Winter, and that's all one word, Donnie Winter.
And it's easy to remember.
Yeah, it's easy to remember. Just think of the horrid season we're in, and you'll remember it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I imagine people call you Donnie Winters a lot, don't they?
Yeah, people are always putting
S
at the end. That's happened my entire life, and it's like, oh, guys, no, that's not what it is.
Yeah, I know. I've got one of those names, too, that people misspell horrendously. I tell them it starts with a K, and they're like, oh. You know, they always start it with a C, but it is what it is. Now, that's
quite interesting. I feel like K is that forgotten letter, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So now, Michigan, you're in Michigan, and they're grappling with same-sex marriage, as are many states now. And we had big news out of Texas today. I couldn't believe it. Texas has overturned their ban on same-sex marriage today. So that was another good notch in our cap here today. And so what's the status of the Michigan battle? And how are you helping to shape that dialogue out there?
Well, I'm actually going to be making a video later on this evening about that. Basically, right now, the Michigan ban against marriage equality is being challenged by a lesbian couple who have adopted kids, and they essentially want to be recognized as, you know, a married couple in the state of Michigan, at the state level, of course. And at this point, they're not. They don't receive the same benefits as everybody else, even though they still have the same love and same support that they provide for their family. Michigan right now, I mean, I'm glad that they're at least talking about it, but basically they're just saying, oh, well, we're just going to discuss it for a couple weeks and see where it goes. And I was so surprised that Texas overturned their ban on marriage equality before Michigan, because we're actually a rather democratic state open to marriage equality. I mean, it's drastically changed over the past 10 years.
Yeah. And, you know, coming from a deep red state like Texas, I think Texas is on the verge of going blue quicker than many people think, actually, myself. I just think they have a lot going on in terms of the Hispanic population that is going to impact that state much sooner than people are thinking. So I was surprised Texas went before an upstate or, you know, a northeast, midwest state, but on the other hand, I really wasn't. I'm like, you know, this is going to be par for the course, I think.
Yeah, I'm really proud of Texas, and it's about time that the deep south state has allowed this to happen. And I think after Texas, now each state is going to start falling into place like dominoes, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I think Louisiana and Ohio are going to be two states coming next that are going to overturn their bans. I would love to see Louisiana do it. The more deep in the south, the better, I tell you. It's great.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately, you know, you can have all these bans overturned. It will go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will ultimately overturn all these bans. And to me, it's a no-brainer, but, you know, I guess we have to let things take their course. But
yeah. Activism is one step at a time. It's always got to be one step at a time.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that frustrates me. I'm an activist. I'm an out-there kind of activist, and, you know, I piss people off. Hey, by the way, if you want to swear, you can swear. This is internet.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to say the F word, let it ride, baby.
Oh, will do.
Yeah, there won't be any bleeps. I don't think Robbie's going to bleep you out. So. So what was I talking about? Oh, activism, yeah. So, you know, I'm sort of one of these out there kind of guys. I say what's on my mind, and, you know, I always premise things with, you know, I just want people to think. I just want people to take, you know, a more personal responsibility for their actions and be more personally responsible in terms of their advocacy. Because I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of people defer. I say this pretty much every week now, but it's one of my pet peeves. I just think that a lot of people defer their personal advocacy to, you know, groups like the Human Rights Campaign and all that stuff that are more politically correct. They're more, you know, in line with the corporate sponsors. So granted, they do a lot of great work. I'm not disparaging them. I just wish that more people would get active and not rely on these groups to be their voice as much as they do.
Well, and I think it all stems down to people not wanting to be ostracized either because, I mean, take, for example, where we live. We live in the upstate of New York and Michigan where it's rather rural. I mean, if I were to step out in West Branch, Michigan with a rainbow flag and start flailing it about, I probably would get a lot of rude comments from people. Yeah. Not that I'd care, but for some people, I mean, that would really bother them.
Well, I'll tell you, a few years ago when I was doing this magazine, I got a death threat. Yeah, I got an email, personal harm death threat. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I went right to the cops, you know. And you know, obviously they were just trying to scare me into not doing what I was doing. And that wasn't going to work because they didn't know who Jim Corey was at the time. And, you know, things like that don't bother me. I just, things that are brought up to me, I just face them and get it over with, and, you know, I take their thunder away. So that's what I did. I just did a whole issue on homophobia and stuff like that, and it was good, and I think more people just need to be more proactive like that. And I'm not saying everybody can be or wants to be out invisible, and I understand people don't want to be, and that's fine, but I just think there's a degree of
people don't realize that if we don't make our own voices heard, then we're not allowing anything progressive to happen. Like when they're confronted with a situation where they themselves are made to feel oppressed, then they will start realizing it. And it's unfortunate that it takes something like that to get them to see that, but that's usually how it goes.
Yeah, and well, that's, you know, that's what's happening. I think, you know, the more people see, I'm hoping, you know, that's what people are seeing. I mean, you're seeing all these state legislatures, you know, put restrictions on women's right to choose and these horrific anti-gay laws that Arizona just passed. And I'm very hopeful that people are just going to wake up and say, you know, enough of this. You know, let's respect a person's human dignity and stop this nonsense. And that's my ideal dream, that we awaken, and that happens this fall, you know, it's a ballot box. But we'll have to wait and see, you know.
I have high hopes. Like, I always try to be positive with it because...
Yeah, me too.
I mean, when people realize that who we choose to love doesn't necessarily dictate who we are as an individual. Like, just because I want to be with a man doesn't mean that I'm any less of a person. Like, I'm not going out treating people disrespectfully because of it or anything like that. I mean, anybody could do that. A heterosexual couple could be like that.
Sure.
And people just don't realize that, I mean, love is the same. Like, my capability to love is the exact same as anyone else's capability to love.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Love is love. Doesn't matter. Take the gender away, take the sexual identity away, and love doesn't change. You know, that emotion is still there.
Exactly.
Actually, I am going to promote our guest call-in number. So if there's somebody out there that's listening that wants to call in, they should do that and ask Donnie a question if they want to. The number is 646-727-3116. 646-727-3116. And if you're listening live, that number is on the webpage that is showing the live podcast, so they can use that page as well. So hopefully we can get a call for you.
That would be awesome. If not, I can answer anything on YouTube then.
Yeah, there you go. Now, let me see. Okay, here we are. We were actually introduced through a mutual acquaintance, Ace London. You were doing reviews of his radio podcast for him. And, you know, how did that all come about? I mean, everybody seems to know Ace. So I'm just curious how you know Ace London. He's a
I knew Ace when I was in college, actually. I've never met him in person, but I know a lot of people who know him mutually. And I know he had gone to Central Michigan University before, and we just became friends on Facebook, and we started talking, and I started listening to his shows. And when I graduated college...
I hope
college,
he's listening tonight, by the way.
Yeah, I hope he's listening to you. If you are Ace, I absolutely adore you.
Yeah.
I basically... He wanted to know if I wanted to write reviews for his show, and I was like, I'd love to. I mean, it would be a writing opportunity, and I'm always up for writing opportunities. And here and there, I got to be on the show, too, which was really fun. And essentially, it was a lot like this. It helped open people's minds, and it'll always be an experience that I'll carry close to my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I co-hosted the show a few times. It was fun. And that's sort of, you know, he had the same thing about the around the kitchen table thing. And if you want to have a potty mouth, go ahead. And, you know, sort of modeled this one after that one, too, because I like the informal nature of his show. It was really good. And
I think that is how we met. We were both on one of the shows together.
Ah, okay. Because, yeah, I don't know how we met. I met him, he saw me in a PFLAG group, I think, and he knew I was doing the magazine, and I think he just reached out and called me one day. And as you, I have never met the man, and I've always wanted to go to meet him, but he lives in that horrific state of Arizona, though. So I don't know. Ace, if you're listening, get out of there, man. I don't know.
At least it's warm there.
Arizona, there are a lot of good people in Arizona. They just are run by a bunch of freaks. That's basically how I think of things, you know. We can't condemn everybody that lives in Arizona.
Yeah, that's true. There's got to be some good people there, right?
Yes, there are. And hopefully sanity will rule out there in that little red mecca. But anyway. So you read the monthly column on diversity rules called Remedies. It's a wonderful essay, and I know folks look forward to reading it every month. So how did you come up with the name Remedies? I know you explained it to me, but let's explain it to listeners.
When I first started writing in diversity rules, like, I didn't have any title for my column, but after a while I began thinking about the fact that we all have insecurity. And the fact that insecurity always gets what we do. And it's a very important part of our lives, even though it may seem a very negative thing to people. And over the past year, I've been taking my insecurity and honestly using it as a remedy and in order to motivate myself to become a better person. And that's where I came up with the title Remedies, because no matter the situation, no matter how awful it may be, there's always going to be a remedy for it. There's always going to be a means of resolving the situation. That just involves keeping an open mind and being open to different scenarios, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. It's fitting. It's a nice title, and it does, you know, it gives the column an aura, you know, because people are looking for a remedy, and you are offering a remedy to somebody's situation. So,
right, and you know, we're always seeking answers, and I mean, a person just has to provide them. A person has to take their own experiences and try to derive an answer, and that's what I try to do.
Yeah, answers. Do you meditate at all?
I do sometimes. Yeah, every now and then.
I try to do it every day, and, you know, I ask for answers. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't, and sometimes they come a few days later, you know, but I think that kind of answer comes from within. You know, people have to, their remedies are within themselves a lot of times too, and they just don't realize it a lot
exactly.
of times.
Exactly. It's just a question of seeing it. And
yeah.
I mean, if sometimes, like, I have several different modes of meditation. Some days I like to light some candles, have a bubble bath and a glass of wine. Other days I just go for a walk. It really depends on the issue and what I'm feeling at the moment. And
yeah.
I think people need to be encouraged to try different things.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been a firm believer in being, you know, open-minded. In my closeted days, I was one of these projectionists that, you know, I was living the facade of a little right-winger and that kind of thing, and I was toeing the line. But, you know, after you shed that facade, after you come out, you start to become one with yourself. And, you know, you do. I embrace diversity. I embrace open-mindedness, and I want people to be themselves, and I don't really care what people think. And, you know, people a lot of times think that I'm trying to change their mind, and I'm really not. You know, I try to be upfront about it. I said, you know, you have to find your own solution. You have to think about what's best for you. I'm just giving you my perspective. You can take it or leave it, you know, and I think a lot of times people fail to do that, you know, and I think they need to just step out of that box they've made for themselves. And
yeah, and we've all been there. We've been in that closet.
Oh, yeah, we all have.
That sense of self-oppression. And honestly, it's just a shell created by your own insecurities. I think once a person begins to realize that that's doing nothing but holding them back, they're more open-minded and they're capable of seeing themselves in a different light.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this progression of coming out, you know, I can look back on, you know, when I came out, I was, you know, a scared little rabbit, and then this progression of enlightenment happens, and, you know, you become more bold with what you do and how it come, and, you know, then you start looking at answers inside yourself and exploring other ways to move yourself forward. And I think, you know, that stage happens at a different time for different people, you know.
Exactly.
And we have to respect that path that people are on. Like, I know people in their 50s and older that are still in the closet, and they think no one knows they're in the closet. And I'm looking at them. I said, dude, people know you're gay. Just come out and be over with it already, you know. But you can't tell somebody to do that.
We will roll out the red carpet for you. Just open the door.
Yeah, the purple carpet. Come on.
Don't forget purple carpet. Forgive me. It's got to be more classy than red.
So now, you know, I've gone through some of your columns. And I've pulled out some notable quotes, so I just want to want you to give listeners your thoughts on some of these excerpts that I've pulled out. So the first one, if you ever doubt your ability to make a difference, give yourself a slap on the wrist because you are wrong. Strides in activism often occur by the smallest action on the fewest of wins. You sort of touched on that already, but I love that quote. It was great.
Well, basically, we all have our own power, and people don't see that. Like, they don't realize that their own voice and their own actions can make people think and can cause change in other people's lives. And if a person thinks that they can't do it, then they need to reassess themselves because, I mean, all it takes is a small action.
Yeah.
I remember there was a day where this girl came into my place of employment, and I work at a coffee shop, I'll just say it. She came into my coffee shop, and she seemed very socially recluse. I was thinking she was probably autistic. And I have a lot of autistic friends, so I'm very good at recognizing the signs. And she seemed so terrified of talking to me. And I looked at her, and I told her that she had really pretty eyes, and that she seemed like a very nice person, and that completely made her day. Like, she walked out of that place completely happy, and all it took was me noticing something. And everybody has that ability.
Yeah, because you do. You have the power to change a person's day or ruin a person's day. I'd rather change a person's day for the better, but, you know.
Sometimes the situation warrants alternative methods.
It does. It does. I was just going to say that, and I said, how am I going to say that without sounding like a vindictive prick, you know? But there are times when you just have to do it. Yeah. Oh, God, that's too funny. So the next one. In my eyes, having to fight for the love I have for my significant other has made me appreciate companionship much more. Legitimate love is fought for, not a religious convenience.
Well, that was essentially my jibe toward people who believe that love is just for reproduction purposes, you know.
Yeah.
And since we've had to fight for our love, we've learned to appreciate it more and not take it for granted. I mean, granted, it really depends on the situation. But, I mean, from my personal experience, I always make an effort for people. Like, I'm a very, like, I try to be a selfless person to the best of my ability. And my love for someone isn't a facsimile of the real thing that you find in the Bible, I guess. It's,
yeah,
it's genuine. It's real. It's human at its core.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bible is just an agglomeration of stories written by men in an unenlightened age, as far as I'm concerned. That's how I look at the book. I mean, granted, there are some things in that book that are useful, you know, and I don't begrudge anybody's, you know, being, you know, holding on to that. I mean, I respect that, and, you know, but a lot of that stuff is, it's just outdated, man. It's like,
right.
It is. It's religious convenience, and, you know, and it just people fall back onto that so easily when it comes to love.
For that era, it was conducive because they needed some means of teaching people, and what better way to do it than create a bunch of different stories and put them together in an anthology, which that's technically what the Bible is. It's
an ancient
anthology.
A very contradictory anthology.
Yeah, that's true.
Mind you. Oh, God. All right. So the next one. Bullying requires awareness. By calling out said bullying, you're preventing other people from suffering the same bullying you're experiencing. We already touched on this a little bit, but I like the first part. Bullying requires awareness, not only on the person being bullied, but the one bullying and the one watching the bullying, you know? Everyone
exactly.
has to have a certain degree of awareness.
Well, people believe that if they ignore something, that it's just going to go away, that they can just sweep it under a rug and it's, you know, all gone now. But in all reality, it's that pot that sits on the back burner that everybody forgets about. It keeps simmering and simmering until it explodes. And if people were more aware that that pot is there, they'd be able to fix it, you know?
Yeah.
And by pointing it out, I mean, there's no other way that it can be resolved unless somebody actually pointed it out and said that, hey, that's not right. That's disrespectful. That's not what we do.
Well, not only that goes for anything, really. Anything worthwhile is grounded in pointing out, you know, something that isn't right and creating awareness of something that isn't right. You know, and it just takes motivation, courage, and the gumption to become aware of it yourself and then to project that awareness to other people and be an advocate for that awareness.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are just sitting in their little boxes in their closets and whatever they're sitting in. You know, I loved Ace's, you know, what's your closet thing there. It's too bad that never took off because it was such a great concept, you know.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't know
it
if
was...
you're familiar with his closet concept with the T-shirts. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the light. Yeah, something with the light and all that kind of thing, but.
Yeah, it, like,
okay.
Ace is a really great person. I really feel like everybody, like, he's very wise, and I think everybody can benefit from what he has to say.
Yeah, exactly. And I always said to Ace, you know, I think we're spiritual travelers. I just have this, I've never met the man, but I think he's one of these souls that I've traveled with in other lives before. He's just got that aura about him that leads me
to
believe
that. I have felt that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's an old soul, and it's this. I have this this connection to him that's just incredible, and I've never met him. Yeah. All right. The next quote: I feel we are moving toward a state of mind that ultimately frees us of limiting people's capabilities based on gender. You know, we have this very strict parameter about male, female, and there's nothing in between. You know, you're getting at in that article.
Yeah, I honestly, I could rant for like 5 shows about gender
stereotypes. Oh, I'm sure you could.
I've noticed that gender has become so solidified in our culture that if you're not specifically abiding by society's perception of your gender, then you're completely, you know, out. You're the planet Pluto in that solar system. You're not really a planet, but you are at the same time. And I've noticed that a lot of people in the gay community use gender stereotypes in their own relationships. Like, I will take gay men, for example. A lot of them discriminate other gay people based on whether or not they're feminine or masculine. And I'm just like, does it really matter? Like, I mean, I get that we all have different attractions and stuff like that, but I could love somebody who was more feminine than myself, or I could love somebody more masculine than myself.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter, and I'm not going to think less of them because of that.
Yeah. I find, you know, being a gay male, being 53, I like to think I have this level of wisdom and learning that I can share with other people, and I say this to people, and, you know, some people look at me like I'm from Pluto, and others are like totally agree with me. They're like, you know, some of my biggest detractors are gay people, which is incredulous to me. You know, it's like coming from being part of a community that's being discriminated against, you would think that community would be more cohesive within itself and work toward furthering the benefit and the welfare and the well-being of the group that they're a part of that's being discriminated against. And like you mentioned, I just find it very bizarre how we in the gay community and discriminate those within the community that are different from them, which it's sort of very ironic that, you know, we're in a community that is discriminated and yet some discriminate within, you know, that may be the case in all groups, but...
And the funny thing is, it all stems down to insecurity. Like, an entire community can be insecure. And I feel like that the gay community has been exposed to bullying and hatred for so long that that's all they know. And the only way they can feel like everyone else is by lashing out at other people and making people in their own community seem less. And it's really sad.
And I, I've always been a firm believer in uplifting people and, you know, telling people they can do whatever they want to do. And, you know, sometimes you say the wrong things. We all say the wrong things. You know, some things come out of our mouths that, you know, we have to take back and we regret. But some people do it a lot. And they do it intentionally, you know.
And also some people don't want to be uplifted. I know a lot of people who prefer feeling pain because that's all they've ever known, and they're too afraid of feeling uplifted, and it's themselves holding them back.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've run across people like that. You know, you try to tell them, you know, you really need to get with it and, you know, change, and, you know, life is too short, and I think for whatever reason, they like being in that situation because it's a security blanket for them to complain and bitch and beller about things instead of taking the initiative to change things, you know? I mean, hell,
I made a YouTube video about that, about people. Like, I call it the people party, or the people who do, like, the pity parties. I've noticed that that's a very common thing. Like, people who want to stay miserable always try to get other people to pity them all the time because that gives them power.
And I don't do that. You know, I recognize people that are in a pity party, and I, you know, it's like I tend to do it, but I do it by myself. You know, I'm not a.
Right.
It's like we all have our moments, and it's like,
Well, honestly, it becomes a pity party when the person repeatedly goes through the same thing and they don't make any effort to resolve the situation.
To resolve the issue, yeah, exactly, exactly. For whatever reason, and, you know, that reason is only known to them why they don't want to do it. But I think it's a lot of it, like you said, it's insecurity and fear. Yeah. All right, the last one. If you have healed already, reach out and take somebody's hand, hold on, and prove to them that healing isn't impossible. I like that. You know, that's a very benevolent quote and something that we all should really live by.
Yeah, and it's all about living by example, because if a person can see that you've gone through something similar and that you've gotten through it, then they'll feel more motivated to make that change. They'll feel more motivated to take that insecurity and put it into practice. They'll allow it to improve themselves, whether it be emotionally, psychologically, or just in everyday life, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, our youth today, they seem to lack good role models and heroes. You know, who are some of your heroes? I mean, who do you look up to that you can say?
Some of my heroes.
Yeah.
Well, my friend Cindy is probably one of my biggest heroes. She has inspired me for 7 years, and I've never even met her either. But
I hope Cindy's listening.
I hope she is too. And she's just such an amazing person. She has gone through so much terrible experiences, and she's allowed it to empower her. And that's, in a way, it empowers me. And, of course, my parents and my entire family, my family is very supportive of me now. And they've been there for me through difficult times. And of course, my grandma, who passed away about 10 years ago, she was a very kindred spirit, and I've always strived to become more like her, I guess. Those are my heroes.
I relate to that. My grandmother is one of my spirit guides. I've discovered that in my spiritual journey, and I know she's with me when I need her. And it's reassuring to know that one of your heroes that are gone are still with you. You know, it's very nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very good to be able to know that and feel that. So.
And, of course, Jim, you're a hero, too, of mine, because all of my friends
now.
Are my heroes.
I appreciate that. I'm just doing what I need to do or what I feel I have to do, you know. Sometimes, do you feel like you're banging your head against the wall sometimes? I know I've posted this on Facebook a few times that, like, I just feel like no one's listening. Do you feel like that sometimes?
I feel like that very frequently.
Yeah, I mean, a day doesn't go by where I'm like, you know, what the fuck? Why am I doing what I'm doing? You know,
I think it every day, but at the end of the day, I always tell myself that a person will only listen if they're ready to.
If they're ready to, yes, and that's what I try to ground myself. And it's some days it's very hard though. I'm like, you know, I do something, and I'm very proud of it, and I put it out there on Facebook and Google Plus and, you know, announce it, and it's like, wow. Why did I even bother doing this, you know?
I understand. Like, I will, like, make a YouTube video that I put so much effort into, and I put it on there, and it's like, oh, there's no response to it. It's splendid.
And then, you know, something will happen. I'll get an email. Like, it happened the other day. I just got this email, and I got this guy posted it, this quote. And he just says, you know, I got the magazine. I never saw it before. I loved it. The articles were great, and it impacted me in a way that I didn't think it would, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, there we go. You know, that's my sign from the universe that I'm doing the right thing. So...
And
yeah,
see, that's what helps empower people like us. And I know I've gotten some really kind comments on my YouTube of people that I've been able to, you know, enlighten or help with my words. And it's like, I've had comments that have made me cry, like such sweet, well-thought comments that have made me, like, just break down into tears. And that's when I know that I've done it right. And in the back of my mind, I realize that, you know, it's not all about the subscribers I get. It's not how many views I get. It's about the difference I can make through what I enjoy doing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I sit here some days and it's like, you know, I can't understand how people can be so mean. You know, the bullies. I mean, they're just mean people, and people just do bad things to other people, and you know, it's against our nature to do that. And I just can't fathom how somebody can be mean.
And you know how people are mean? Imagine how mean they are to themselves.
Just
falling into their own pit that they dig. And, like, whenever I confront somebody who is disrespectful, I know, like, I can recognize that that's their own pain that they are letting control them.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize it.
Exactly. Well, we are coming up on the last 3 minutes of this show. Can you believe it? It went fast.
Wow, that was fast.
I know. So do you have anything else you want to share? Any parting thoughts, last words?
Well, I want to go back to insecurity and tell people that no matter what you're insecure about, it doesn't dictate who you are as an individual, like in a negative sense. If you look at that insecurity and acknowledge it as, I guess, a friend, because it's always there to help motivate us to become better people. It helps us reach for the next goal. And insecurity is not a bad thing. It's all about, it's human nature. It's meant to exist. Nobody ever defeats their insecurity. I am still insecure.
Yeah,
but,
we all are. Yeah.
Right, but
it's
I don't
challenge.
Let it,
it's
I don't let it destroy me.
We have to overcome.
Exactly.
What's that? Yeah.
I don't let it destroy me. That's the key to it.
Yeah, which a lot of people do. They let it get to them and destroy them, and before they know it, they're in the pity party, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you very much, Donnie. I appreciated this. You changed some minds tonight and helped some people out there, and this will be recorded and out there so you can promote this interview on your YouTube and your Facebook page after it's done here, too, so...
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate
it. You're most welcome, and I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Donnie Winter. It was a very enlightening discussion on bullying, and just it was an awesome hour. I can't believe the hour is almost up. So next week's guest is a guest that we were supposed to have on last week, but due to technical difficulties at Blog Talk Radio, we could not do the show. So James Schwartz has been rescheduled. He's a poet and slam performer and author of The Literary Party, Growing Up Gay and Amish in America. And, you know, he will have certainly some good stories to tell, and he will be reading some poems from his book that chronicle his life growing up gay and Amish. So it is time to bid adieu until next week. So just keep on forging ahead and live your destiny and take charge of your lives. See you next week.
We hope you have enjoyed your brief sojourn here with Diversity Rules Magazine on the air. We, alas, must part paths until next week, when we will begin a new journey into your mind and discuss compelling issues of the day, touching on diversity and acceptance. The world is a beautifully diverse place with many perspectives, and it is our hope you took away something from tonight's show that enhanced and strengthened your resolve to make the world a better place for all its inhabitants.